pray. Amen. Good morning. It's been a few weeks now, about six. We've been going through Not a Fan, or Fan or Follower. And eventually, we come to the point where we have to decide to answer the questions. Are you a fan or are you a follower? And making decision that's all life is about, really. We don't think about it much, but we make decisions every day, whether we are aware of it or not. We make decisions. And it is said that man's life is really constituted of crossroad. I mean, everywhere you go, whatever you do, you make decisions. If you, this morning, for example, you woke up and you have to decide whether you want to get up or stay in bed. I mean, you may not think about it, but finally you decide you want to get up. You get up and you decide whether you wanted to brush your teeth or take a shower. And some of us did, some of us didn't. I mean, it's just a choice. We decided. And eventually you decided, you made a choice to go get dressed. And I'm not going into that, but you know, some people just have a hard time making that decision. It's too many. The shoes, oh my goodness, too many. So it's just, even myself this morning, picking the ties, I had the ties rack. It's just a hard, you have to make a decision. But you know, there is one decision that we cannot neglect, and we cannot run away from it, and it's the most important decision is where we desire to spend eternity. Where do we want to go after this life is over? I mean, you may try to avoid it or whatever, and then it's all will come back, whether you are a fan or follower. And that's what we're going to see this morning. If you are able to make the decision, let's say you want to do something or whatever, let's say the minute you decide this morning you come into church, you were already halfway to church. Whatever you're doing, if you make that decision, you are firm on it, then you're already halfway. If you say you want to go to school, the minute you make the decision, I am going to school, you're already halfway. Today's decision is tomorrow's destiny. Whatever decision you make today, that will define your tomorrow. We have one example. I'm going to take two examples of decision making this morning. The first one comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, 21. I'm sure we are familiar with this story. And let me read for you verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Is Jesus Lord? Then follow him. If he is not, you have somebody else, then follow him. But standing between two, that's not an option. You have to pick. This verse of, I would advise you to read the whole story, but right here we find three groups of people on top of a mountain. Two of those three, they were single-minded. They knew exactly where they stood. You have Elijah. For him, his Lord is God. God Almighty. He was firm on that. And the second group, you have the prophets, there are about 850 of them, 450 Baal. They thought Baal was the mighty God. So no problem there. But you had another group was the people. The people were all confused. Somehow they believed the God of Israel is the God, but yet to please the kingdom or the country they are living in, whatever, they get into worshiping Baal. So now they were, actually the word halt there had the sense of a belt ringing, one sound here, bing, bong, bing, bong. So they were left, right, all confused. And Elijah finally came to them. He told them, hey, how long? How long are you going to be like that? Halting between two opinions. And you know, you and I, how it is. We know Jesus is the one. That's the way we should go. But yet at the same time thinking, grabbing or following Jesus will really mean losing this and that and neglecting this and that, leaving that behind. So you try to stay as long as possible in the middle. You know? Jesus, his first sermon on the mountains, he preached such a way, and he ended his message such a way that you had to pick. Like you see here, Elijah told the people to choose the Lord or Baal. But the people did not say anything, not a word. And I truly believe they did not know exactly which one to pick. They loved the Lord, but Baal also, you know. So they did not have an answer. But if you read the story, after Elijah proved the Lord was God, then the Bible says they bowed down and they claimed God, and then they kill the prophets. So they needed direction. They needed somebody to show them, or they needed proof somehow, but it happened. They picked. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he came. He preached. Remember? Not just he preached, but he performed miracles. He let them know, I am he. And after he preached about the kingdom, entering the kingdom. He preached, and we are going to read the beginning of the conclusion of his sermon from Matthew 7:13-14. After he preached, now he is ending his sermon. He said, Enter ye in at the straight gate, narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that found it. He talked to the people, his disciples, and he told them, enter ye. That's a commandment. And I look at this as Jesus commanding them to say, hey, you have two ways. But I'm not going to say, and by the way, Jesus was on the mountain together also. He told them to enter. Now, Elijah told them to choose. If there is God, if God is the Lord is God, follow him. But Jesus told them, hey, there are two gates for real, but you enter the straight gate. Enter the straight gate. The people he was speaking to, they had the heart. It's like in the church, if I'm the pastor of a congregation, I know my people. Some people would come to you, ask you for direction. You can tell them, you know what, go left. And somebody you will say, go right. But somebody you pray with them and say, hey, I hope the Lord lets you make the right choice. Once you know the person, the people, you know who to give advice to, who not to, and you know those who will ask you questions, if they are sincere, they just want to you as a cover or whatever. Jesus was smart enough, wise enough. Sometimes he answered a question by a question. You know, he just knew the people. But this crowd he was speaking to, he told them, I know you just need somebody to point the way for you. I know you, after you listen to me, I know you just need to know where to go. Like the people on Elijah was talking to. Once they saw exactly who was the Lord, they followed God. So Jesus commended them. He said, from the Bible, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Like you are my sheep, so you hear my voice, you follow me. The way of the kingdom, contrary to what people think, is not like a funnel. Is that funnel? A big beginning and a narrow gate. It's not like that. It's narrow from the beginning. It's narrow from the beginning. Two ways, two gates, two destinations, two crowds. There is no one that will be just slip and get into the kingdom accidentally. You just slip, oh my goodness, I'm at the kingdom. It's a decision. You have to make a decision. You know, in the gates being wide and the road is so large, it's like a huge highway. There are different lanes, but it's still one road, right? Sometimes people just change lane and they think they make the right choice. But you're still in the wide way. What Jesus is talking about, the straight gate, is a straight gate. He's talking about the narrow way. There is no lane to change. Sometimes people change religion. Maybe where they were, you know, they had a problem with that. People change church. Or they change friends. They change whatever reason, but they think they just change. But they never enter the narrow one. Because the minute you have access to change lanes, you're definitely not in the narrow path. There is no lane to change. Jesus said, you're either in the large one or you are in the narrow one. That's it. The minute you feel like you have options, you need to change road. Go to the narrow gate. I want to tell you something that might surprise you, but it shouldn't. If I ask everybody here, do you want to go to heaven? Most people will say yes. If you are in church, that means you want to go to heaven. But do you in reality know most people don't really, really want to go to heaven? Even us Christians. Because we want to go to heaven, but to go to heaven we have to die. But we don't like to die. We want to live as long as possible. And you know, the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. I think I like what Paul said, and that's this attitude we should have in church to see people really want to go to heaven. Like Paul said, I am in the strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Not for me. I want to go. I want to go. I cannot wait to be with the Lord, because to me, to die is gain. That's an attitude of somebody who wants to go to heaven, right? Oh, I know I have to be here, but I cannot wait. You guys hold me down because I have to help you out. I cannot wait for you to grow up so I can go. That's a man who wants to go to heaven. Now, you may wonder, are you sure, pastors, people don't want to go to heaven? I'm absolutely sure. I'll show you why. Like, we, every one of us, we would like to be the best Christian that ever exists. We have the desire, but we don't want to, the pain with it. You would not want to, it's like you want to be in a special force in the Navy or Army, whatever, but yet when the pain of it, we want to live like Christ. We want to be like Jesus. But nah, it takes too much. But at the same time, we don't want to be like Satan. How many really would like to be called Satan and be acting like Satan? We don't, but at the same time, so what we do, we take a little bit of both. We come to church, but we take some Satan side to enjoying life, enjoying the world at the same time. So we halt between two opinions now. We love the Lord, we know He's great, but at the same time, we love the world, so we are in the middle. And this morning, He's asking you to choose side. You have to side yourself one way or the other. So what men do, they find alternative. They find easy ways. They're trying to make things easy. It's like if you have a map, let's say from here to Florida. For some reason, you don't like the way it's mapped, and you just take your pen and you put your own way. And then you take your map then, and then you go heading to Florida your own way. But the way doesn't exist. It's in your mind. You put it in your map, but it's not in the real world. It's not there. So that's what happened. There are only two ways, one narrow and one large. Regardless what other word you put, it doesn't exist. It's not taking you anywhere. When I preparing for this, I was thinking about the bridge to nowhere. It's a bridge, but it's not going anywhere. You can put as many bridges you want. I try to look for religions and different ways they're trying to avoid going to the straight way. This is what I find. Or the alternative man is trying to search, because they don't really want to go to heaven. After all, heaven can be very boring thinking about it. Now we're talking about in heaven, we're going to worship, praise the Lord 24 hours a day and singing with the angel. Do you think it's something most people just want to do for sure? If that's what it is, I'm honest with you. I don't even know what we're going to do in heaven for eternity. But if it's just singing for eternity, I don't know. It must be more fun than that, you know. So if you're trying to get somebody to go to heaven and they're going to tell you what we're going to do for eternity, you're going to tell them to sing, that's not good advertising for heaven. So men are looking for alternative. First one that we can agree with, even for us Christian, we try to live as long as we can here, as long as possible. Stretch health and life as much as we can. Maybe we can get as many minutes, seconds as we can. We don't want to go 1 second earlier. I am in it too. We all. We want to live. We want to hear. And you find other religion. I'm not going to name any religion. But to avoid that straight, narrow path, they tell you, you know what? You can be your own God. You can, you're going to be a god and you're going to start your own world. You do whatever you will in that world. So that's give him some kind of hope, okay? Yeah, I'm going to start my own world. And other say, as an alternative, you will die, but you will come back something else. Who knows? Maybe you can come back as a king one day. Of course, one day you may come back as a dog, a pig, or whatever. But who knows? As you keep on dying, one day you may become a king, a president, or whatever. You're just finding other ways. And another thing that is out there is like you can live here as a spirit. Somehow they believe you can live here as a spirit. So that means no sickness, no pain, nothing. So just enjoy life, but just as a spirit. And you find this is going on. You know, some people thinking with technology going so fast, it may come a time soon that we have artificial heart, lungs, brain, anything. So that's been change everything. You there like you live forever, really. It's like me, my personal hope is like I think I may be blind before I die if I live long enough. And I'm hoping technology, you know, they come up with something you can just take this eyes and put something else and I'm fine. That's, I'm expecting that too. So every single one of us, people are hoping that technology come quick so we may be like machines, just, you know, robot, but we live so we don't deal with this straight and narrow path. And of course, we have the easy gospel. That's another way. We'll say, hey, you know, it's not really that hard. Just say a little prayer for you. You accept the Lord, and that's all you need. You save. Avoid this narrow path, this narrow gate. But unfortunately, there are only two. There are only two. The decision is made simple, one or the other. The Lord said, call heaven and earth and record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. That's all it is about. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. That's all it is about. Death or life. And in Jeremiah, he said, and unto this people that shall say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And in John, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was talking hard, very hard. The Bible says from that time, many of his disciples made that decision to went back and not to walk with him no more. After he told them some hard saying. And they say, who can listen to this? And they made the decision not to walk with him, not to follow him. That's all it is about. And when Jesus looked around, he saw his 12. And he told them, will you go also? Why are you here? Does that mean you have decided to follow me still after all that? Yes, they chose to stay. They chose to stay. But Peter said, Lord, it's not that we wanted to. We really don't want to stay. But what other way do we have? What other alternative do we have? If we want to leave, we have to stay because you have the word of eternal life. You are the only one who's talking about life after death. Nobody else. And you find Joshua who said, choose ye this day. Choose ye. Make your decision. But as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, the people with Elijah, they halted. They are there left and right. It's the same thing you and I. We may say, one day I'll give my life to Christ. One day I'll follow Jesus. One day I will make my commitment. One day I will be firm on it. That will be it. But first of all, the Bible calls us foolish because we don't know what tomorrow, if we will even see tomorrow. Okay? You can say whatever you want. No one can guarantee tomorrow. No one. So whatever you have to do, you can do, do it today. Whatever decision you need to make, you need to make it today. Tomorrow is not for you. And the second thing is, waiting, halting to make a decision doesn't stop the clock, doesn't stop the time. Life continues. It doesn't slow down the sun. It's continuous. This morning, we're going to see how Jesus finally ended his sermon. After everything he said, now I'm going to let you choose if you are fool, if you are, or if you are wise. And I will see that according to your decision. The decision you make will determine whether you are fool or wise. I'm not going to be the one this morning to say you are fool. I cannot see your inside, but inside yourself, you can at least tell yourself, you know, I'm a foolish man or a foolish woman. And then if you truly made a commitment to follow Christ, you can say, you know what, I am wise. And I'd like you to stand up with me and read. We're going to read together. We're going to read it slow. Matthew 7, 21, 27. Matthew 7, verses 21 to 27. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name made and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth this saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Thank you. You may be seated. And therefore, whosoever heareth this saying of mine, we have been hearing these sayings of Jesus for about 6 weeks. But not the hearers of the word will be justified, right? is the doers of the words will be justified. And Jesus said, you have heard me. You've heard me. But now, the wise one will go ahead and do it. And the foolish ones will not do it. But by the beginning of the conclusion, when Jesus said, enter ye into the straight gate. That's his desire. He desires for us to enter into the straight gate. I do remember when I first come across that decision. I was religious. I used to go to church. I thought I truly loved the Lord, but I knew I needed to make that decision. And one thing that held me back is that saying, I don't think I can do it. When I look at people around me that I thought were living a pure life, I said, man, I can never be like so-and-so, never. I can never do it because, I mean, being like so-and-so, so-and-so like an angel, how can I? And that's what held you back. But remember, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't let Satan tell you, man, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. You can, because it will not be you. It will be Christ in you. Christ in you. All he is waiting for, is waiting for you to say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I want to dedicate my life to you. But I need help. And the Lord will say, come. All he needs is like he needs to know you are seeking him with the sincere heart, the pure heart. He said, if you seek me with pure heart, I'm not going to hide and make you seek me in vain. No, he'd say, I will say, here am I. And if you look at the scripture where he says, only few found the straight gate. That means they were searching for it. The large gate, you don't need to seek for it. It's just there. Just drive. Just go through. But the straight gate, you have to seek for it. Because it says few find it. Few finds it. This is the few he's talking about this morning. Put behind you how long you've been in church. Put behind you how long you've been baptized. Put behind you how good you've been. He's asking you to make a decision this morning. This is the time where we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward. You know, don't come so people can see you. Because Jesus already knows. But if you come forward, don't let the emotion, but let the word bring you forward. And be you with the Lord and nobody else. Because your commitment, your decision is to follow Jesus. That will be manifested to the world through your living, through your church, through your ministry. But the real deal is Jesus knows exactly your decision. Men will look at the outside appearance, but the Lord look at the inside. I hope and pray that you make the right decision, that you make the decision that will last for eternity. God bless you.